Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, websites covering daily pro wrestling news and UFC and mixed martial arts news, including exclusive columns, special features, and more. There are also free apps associated with each brand. You can search PW Torch or MMA Torch in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download our free apps. The Apple apps are new, and the Android apps will be new soon, but you can download them anytime you want for free. Just go to the App Store and search PW Torch and MMA Torch. It is Thursday, February 4th, 2016, and Thursday means Interview Thursday. And today, we welcome back one of our favorite recurring guests on the program, former ECW World Heavyweight Champion, former WWF wrestler, Justin Credible, also known as PJ Polacco or Peach. PJ, how's it going?
It's going great, Wade. How you doing?
Doing really good. Thanks for taking time out for the show again today.
Oh, anytime. It's always my pleasure.
We want to take phone calls today, so if you are interested in talking with PJ and me about what's going on in wrestling today or the 1990s WWF scene or anything like that, so give us a call here, 646-721-9828. That's 646-721-9828. You can also email us at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. PJ, my first question for you is, what do you think of Triple H against Roman Reigns as the leading contender right now to be the WrestleMania 32 main event in Dallas in front of somewhere in the neighborhood or not 100,000 people? Is that a suitable main event in 2016 to fill that building?
I don't think so. Just personal opinion.
Yeah.
As a fan, strictly as a fan,
yeah.
I think there's something missing. You know, Hunter's a great performer. I'm sure the match will be great. But from a fan interest standpoint, it's not going to, it's not going to tickle my fancy. I wouldn't pay to watch it, you know, personally. I think now what the WWE expects is more you're paying for WrestleMania for the spectacle of what WrestleMania has become. And I personally think that it just doesn't do it for me. There's no interest, you know. They've been... fans are smarter than that these days. They know that they're going with Roman Reigns, and putting him over on Triple H would be supposedly this big crowning achievement.
Yeah, and I mean that certainly is the betting line, is Roman Reigns beats Triple H at WrestleMania. We got an email question related to this topic. I'll start with that, but of course encourage everybody to give us a call. We're going to get the calls quickly on the other side of our first commercial break in just a moment. So you can get in line now, 646-721-9828. David emails and says, "Dear Wade and Justin, I've had a few hectic weeks at work and I'm just now catching up on the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. I definitely recommend reading this fine periodical if you're a VIP member only for audio. In last week's end notes, you spoke about the likely disaster that would result if a babyface Roman Reigns and a heel Triple H met at WrestleMania. I couldn't help but think about WrestleMania 18 between The Rock and Hulk Hogan. Sure, it was in Bizarro World, i.e. Canada, but the fans voiced their opinion about who should be in which role. The WrestleMania 18 main event was memorable, likely because the two men involved, but can WWE face a similar situation this year and actually benefit from it? Could there be a double turn, if you will?" Trademark Dusty Rhodes. So what about that? David's suggesting possibly Triple H is a heel going into the match, Roman Reigns a babyface, the crowd totally turns in favor of Triple H, or cheers Triple H, stays against Roman. Could that lead to either a planned or an optional hardcore heel turn from Roman Reigns? Would the timing be right, if you're going to turn Roman, to turn him in front of a crowd totally rejecting him at the biggest spectacle of the year?
I mean, it could definitely be done, but that just to me doesn't seem very exciting either way.
Yeah.
It seems, you know, it seems probable. I mean, you know, I think fans have come to, and respectfully so, you know, give Triple H his props, and, you know, he's done and accomplished a lot in the business. I just, you know, it'd be cool, and, yeah, they'd play it up on their pre-taped videos and their wonderful, you know, packages that they do. But I really don't think, personally, that they would that would generate any real business going forward, especially into, you know, the harder spring summer months where business tends to go down. I just don't think it would bring enough excitement. I think they need something much bigger on a much broader scale. Although that may be a possibility. Who knows?
Yeah. I think a lot of people are a little worried about this lineup. It'd be one thing, Paige, if Hunter against Roman was supported with a must-see Undertaker match and a must-see Brock Lesnar match. We're just not seeing that show up in the lineup yet when we kind of imagine what the undercard will be. Does Brock Lesnar versus Bray Wyatt and Undertaker versus Braun Strowman feel WrestleMania worthy?
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, I not like that. I'm not being a jerk.
Yeah.
But I think Bray Wyatt's immensely talented. I have a ton of respect for the guy. You know, Brahman, are you kidding me in an Undertaker match?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, this seems like we're just really grasping at straws, you know, really, really grasping at straws.
I agree.
Might as hell, at this point, bring another ECW comeback. You know?
Yeah.
Really, you know, I was just, you know, as a matter of fact, it's funny you say that. Hand to God on my children. Bubba Ray Dudley, who dates Velvet Sky, they live two blocks from my house. We just saw each other at the grocery store getting our, because right around now it's dinner time, we were getting our food, and we were talking, and, you know, we were saying it's like things are looking thin right now creatively over there for probably their biggest show of all time, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's... I think Vince McMahon's going to have to come up with something more than what we're seeing right now as the likely lineup. And I don't know if that means The Rock wrestling or if that means Ronda Rousey making an appearance or if that means Steve Austin appearing. I'm not sure what that is, but...
It needs all of it. It needs Steve Austin. You know what would work? It would need, and of course this would never happen, but it needs Steve Austin versus CM Punk. It needs Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon. It needs, you know, Shawn Michaels coming back. It needs it all. And that's the problem that you and I have talked about several times, ad nauseum, yeah, about stars not being positioned yet. It takes time. Unfortunately, now it's almost like the NFL. For those of the listeners that follow the NFL, it's like you have a coach who, you know, takes you to a Super Bowl, loses, you know, wins a bunch of games, and then gets fired the next year. You know, it's like they want it now. Times, man, you know, they're not giving these kids, A, are not ready, and B, it's just, I'm not sure. It's not the lack of talent. It's the lack of that stubborn ideal that the smaller competitor, I like the way they're doing AJ Styles, but he's not going to be pushed enough excuse me to make a difference for WrestleMania, and quite frankly, you know, he'll only, you know, there'll be a glass ceiling with him as well. Mm-hmm. just because I know how they work and you know how they work.
Yeah.
I just find that the business is in a real, real serious place. You know, they're still making their money. See, that they don't care about. I mean, look, they care about putting out quality product. I know they pride themselves in that. That's legit. I know that the McMahons legitimately want to put out the best product they can, but they really have to start thinking long and hard about, the youth movement is great and all. But I think a lot of the fans want to see legends to some capacity. And I don't mean just incredible. I mean just certain legends that could still go, that could still make it a bit like how Sting did it. Guys that haven't, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't, they've put themselves into such a corner that I don't think they know how to get out of it. You know, there's just, you could have NXT all you want, but by the time they get up to the main roster, Everybody already knows who they are. There's no real surprise. Oh, yay, they're on Raw instead of NXT. It's not a real big deal. I mean, they need a guy completely out of nowhere who was a big deal or who is a big deal in another place in the world, who wrestles in another place in the world. And, you know, unfortunately, until we have something of that nature, you know, I think Vince shot himself in the foot with the initial takeover of 82, 83, whatever it was. You know, I think that essentially is going to start showing its face, because we're really running out of legitimate stars, because fans believe in time. You know, they believe in, yeah, I saw you 10 years ago. I saw you 15 years ago. You're legit. Who's this young kid, Neville? I love him. I think he's talented, you know, as hell. But, you know what I mean? They want guys who have been around the block.
Yeah.
They want guys that have been there. And we're also missing everybody. To me, looks like a clone. Six-pack abs, the gimmicks, the shorts, the hair, whatever little gimmicks they do, the flipping around. They need to have guys like Bam Bam Bigelow, the King Kong Bundys, the Yokozunas, guys with different body types. Because if you remember, of course you do, back in the day, you know, these guys look like your uncle who got into a barroom brawl at some shady biker bar.
Yeah.
You know, but they look like killers, like the Mad Dog Vachons or whatever. I'm just saying. I'm just naming off names. But I think we need to stop trying to Hollywood pro wrestling. And that's what Vince wants, of course. He always wanted to make pro wrestle or sports entertainment, excuse me, Hollywood. And you know, and to me, I still see that, you know, when you got guys like Sean, and he's a good friend of mine, I'm not just saying it to be biased, but when you got guys like Sean Waltman on the sidelines, that's a problem.
Yes.
Because he's another guy. I'm not saying wrestling for whatever medical reasons or whatever, but there's just so many good guys. I've offered my services and got declined to help at the school. That's year. You know, I know where the bodies are buried in Stanford. I know it all. I know a lot of stuff. You know, that was an old saying. That's an old saying we used to have, and we used to drive down the road. And they need to bring those guys back into play. You know, and really get this, and not necessarily get in the ring, but to get something rolling. And unfortunately, we're at a point where it's so fast paced that a feud that would last back in the day 6 months lasts an episode or two. You know, an episode of Raw, an episode of SmackDown, possibly a third. And then you're done.
Yeah.
If you're lucky to get a pay-per-view, you need to really elongate these things, because you're also burning through stars, you know, and eventually they're not going to be able to pump them out.
Yeah, it's something CM Punk talked about in his interview with Colt Cabana, about how it's difficult to build WrestleMania around returning stars and do so in a way that diminishes your full-time stars and then expect to draw in the other months of the year. But the other problem is, eventually, those other stars aren't available for any number of reasons, and now you're left with a perception that Kevin Owens isn't a big star, or pick your guy, that he's not a big enough star to headline WrestleMania. And you can see that even ardent fans of the current roster who would like to see a different lineup aren't even, it's hard to shuffle this lineup into a blockbuster show. And so that's something WWE is facing going into WrestleMania 32. And I don't think what they did on Monday with Miz TV and AJ Styles help matters. PJ, I want to tease this if you saw it. Did you see the AJ Styles Miz TV segment on Monday?
I did not.
Okay. So we'll talk about it in more general terms, because Miz basically pointed out every deficiency and weakness in AJ that Vince McMahon might use against AJ. promo sure. in an attempt to kind of create heat. So anyway, let's go to our first break. And when we come back, we'll start taking your phone calls. You can also email us, by the way. The phone number, 646-721-9828. And email is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Speaking of which, here's a plug for our new homepage for this show, pwtorchlivecast.com. No matter how you normally listen to the PW Torch Livecast, we invite you to check out the new homepage for this show at pwtorchlivecast.com. It debuted in January 2016, and it is a great headquarters for this program. It not only gives you access to download or stream the latest episodes of the PW Torch Livecast, the layout allows you to quickly and easily catch up on some of your favorite shows. Maybe you missed an interview, or maybe you missed a post-game show, or maybe you missed your favorite Friday show with Bruce and Travis. Whatever it is, it's easy to catch up on shows you missed with a great layout, great access to archives, and there's exclusive content not on the main RSS feed, including best of selections. The weekend of the Royal Rumble 2016, we put up our post-game shows for Royal Rumble 2015 and the Rumble 2016, with all the fallout from the reaction to Batista's win and Roman Reigns' win and the crowd reaction. Relive those moments or listen to them for the first time at pwtorchlivecast.com. Plus, we'll be adding free samples of VIP audio content and more. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. When you want to stream our show live, when you want to listen on demand to a recent episode, or dig deep into the archives and find older episodes, that's the place to go. pwtorchlivecast.com. Check it out. A new sponsor here at PW Torch Livecast is Loot Crate. It's a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items, retail value guaranteed to be greater than $40. That includes licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Make sure to head over to lootcrate.com and enter PW Torch to save $3 on any new subscription. That's LOOT. CRATE, lootcrate.com. Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. They also ship to 27 countries, with more info on those at their website. Loot Crate is more than a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans who share their experience and interact with each other around the unboxing of each month's crate. Again, Loot Crate guarantees $40 in value for $20 a month, and sometimes it's worth a lot more. Every month, there's a different theme, and all items are curated around that theme. Themes are inspired by major movie and video game releases, as well as pulling from pop culture franchises we all know and love. Previous crate themes have included franchises like Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, and many more. Check it out and save $3 at lootcrate.com. Coupon code PWTORCH to save $3. Next week, by the way, EC3, Ethan Carter III, will be my guest here on the PW Torch Livecast for the full hour, so join us then for that. If you missed yesterday's livecast with Pat McNeil, Trevor Murdoch, main roster member at WWE 10 years ago with the late Lance Cade, he joined Pat once again for a conversation on what's going on with him and what's going on in the world of wrestling. And a couple weeks ago, just incredible, today's guest mentioned mentioned the name of our guest from 2 weeks ago, Sean Waltman, X-Pac, Lightning Kid. I encourage you to check that out. Really fun and informative, and it's got people buzzing. Really good interview with Sean Waltman, another recurring guest on this program, one of the favorites of our listeners. But again, you can find out who our recent interviews were with easily and quickly by going to pwtorchlivecast.com. Last week, by the way, Ed Ferrara, ex-creative team member, actually before there was a creative team. He was the co-writer of the highest-rated Raws ever in the late 90s, alongside Vince Russo, working directly with Vince McMahon. He's a big fan of NXT and is actually a professor now, instructor at Full Sail University in media. And he was my guest last week for an hour and a half. Really good interview. A lot of praise for that one. Some good analysis of the current scene and some good stories from the Attitude Era and more. He has worked for WWE, WCW, and TNA, a lot of experience in a lot of different places. So that's also worth checking out. Lots of good interviews so far this year. Taz, Dixie Carter, Gunner was on with Pat McNeil. Matt Hardy was on with me. Lots of good interviews to catch up on. There's a grid in the middle column, if you scroll down, of the latest 9 interviews at pwtorchlivecast.com. Let's go back to the show and back to the phone lines. You can get in line at 646-721-9828, 646-721-9828, or email us at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com if you've got questions. Let's go to our VIP Express lane first and go to Craig from Atlanta. Craig, you're the first caller. Thank you for your VIP membership, and thanks for calling today. Craig, are you there?
Oh.
Yep, go ahead, Craig.
Yeah. Do you have me? Sorry about that.
Yeah, you're on, Craig. We can hear you just fine. Go ahead with your question for Justin Credible.
Hey, guys. Hey, Justin. Thanks for having me on. So my question is regarding, I think it's kind of the foregone conclusion right now that we're going to have Triple H and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, but are we 100% positive that Lesnar versus Triple H might not be the more marquee match, the more money match? And I don't know. I have this feeling deep down that we might end up seeing a Roman turn at Payback and then see Roman and Dean Ambrose at Mania, and then Triple H and Lesnar, which I think is a bigger drawing match in Dallas.
Did you email me that earlier, Craig?
I did not.
Okay, someone else did then. So that's interesting. Someone else earlier today dropped me an email just asking that same question. PJ, Justin Credible, do you like that option better? If at Fastlane, Roman turns on Dean to set up a former Shield member grudge match, and you have Brock Lesnar as a babyface going against Triple H, trying to take back the championship that he lost but never pinned, got pinned or submitted in losing?
I would like that much, way much better than the current scenario. And you know what? I mean, anything can happen. Who knows what they have up their sleeve? It could be a big swerve. I mean, hell yeah, that'd be a much bigger, marquee matchup, and would sell a lot more network subscriptions and whatever left of pay-per-view that they still have. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that would be very plausible, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen Lesnar Hunter before. That makes me a little hesitant. We haven't seen that Reigns-Hunter one-on-one match. I think Vince McMahon tends to like to do first-time marquee matchups. But if there was a big stipulation at stake, that can work. I'm still holding out hope, Craig, that we see something involving The Rock, Steve Austin, Ronda Rousey, something like that. Dana White, by the way, said this week, and you can get details on this and so much more about what's going on in USC over at MMATorch.com. It was newly redesigned this week and basically matches the layout now of our sister site, PWTorch.com. Some great updates over there on a lot of things. Luke Rockhold's next opponent determined. But the news story I'm referencing here is Dana White saying that Ronda Rousey's next fight will likely be in November. So giving her a lot of time off. That's a long stretch of time off. But it sounds like he is not going to have her fight, doesn't see her fighting again until then. And that would certainly free her up after doing Saturday Night Live to be involved in WrestleMania, get a payday, and maybe be opposite of Stephanie McMahon in perhaps in Roman's corner. You know, if they're really determined to get Roman Reigns over, can you imagine Stephanie in Hunter's corner, Ronda Rousey in Roman's corner to maybe give a little bit extra oomph to that main event? Justin, if that's the plan, does Ronda Rousey's star power make that match then more special? Does it become more acceptable?
It does, but not much. Look, bottom line, man, the kid's good. No doubt about that. Handsome. Body like an Adonis. He's got every tool that it takes, but he's just not there yet.
Yeah,
not for that level, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's just a humble opinion. I'm not saying I could do it. I'm not saying, oh, what do you think, you can go up there and do that? No, I'm not saying I can. But I'm just saying, for me as a fan, maybe it's just he doesn't have the steam behind it. He could certainly pull off the workload. He obviously did it with Brock last year. To me, it's just the steam behind him is just not creatively, I'm talking about, is just not there for me to get excited about.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go now to our second caller, Ryan. Ryan, where are you calling from today?
England.
All right. What have you got for us?
Just a question for Justin. Basically, was there bad heat when you came over from in the invasion from WCW in the locker room? If you understand the question.
Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
When I came over from the on the invasion angle?
Yeah. So did you get heat from the WWE guys that was already there?
Oh, no. I mean, I was, I don't think anybody did. I think everybody at that point was, you know, we just wanted to do business. I felt that at that point in the WWE, it was, you know, it was an opportunity to make a lot of money and to, you know, to just do something that's never been done before. Unfortunately, you know, they threw out a, you know, an angle for the ages, probably one of the biggest pro wrestling angles of all time, and they turned it into shit, quite frankly, excuse my language. Because it really, if you think about it, it could have been, you know, one of the biggest deals in sports entertainment, pro wrestling history. They should have kept the entities separately, and it should just, you know, but it had to become about the McMahons, and that's usually how it is, you know, and it's that thing that'll always prevent them from reaching the pinnacle, you know. Look, they have enough money, so now it's just about them.
Yeah.
You know, if it was back in the old days where they really needed to make ultimate money and get the most for their, you know, for what they're putting out there, they would have done the right thing for business. They always say what's best for business. That was not best for business. That was best for them. And, you know, it's just best for their egos. I thought that was a horrible move.
Just on what you're going on there, do you actually, you know, like we're saying that this faction thing might, about the authority, people say, no, when's it going to end? In fact, is it here to stay? Is it going to be something that's always going to be there? Is it going to be Triple H and Stephanie for now until... It doesn't seem like it's a storyline anymore. It just seems like it's here to stay, if you understand.
I hear you, and I do understand. And it seems like it's not going anywhere anytime soon, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a shame.
I think that the McMahons think protecting their image and projecting themselves as the stars is best for business. I think they rationalize it because it means that no matter what else happens to injuries or talent departing or anything, they ultimately are the stars of the show. And if they endorse somebody or just appear on camera, it's a big deal. I mean, I think they've rationalized to themselves that that's what's best for business, but I think the most money comes from the McMahons picking somebody and promoting them the way that they promote themselves. And I don't even think they've done that good of a job with Roman Reigns, because we don't even know that much about Roman Reigns. I mean, I know. Yeah,
I know that he's a Samoan.
Yep.
You know, and he has Samoan heritage, and he's a tough guy, and you know, and he's a good fighter, and that's it.
I know. I mean, what does he stand for? You know, he doesn't even seem to care that much about losing championships, or he hasn't really defined. Like, Peach, when you and I were growing up watching wrestling, the champion was always somebody who talked about how important the championship was to them. And I just don't hear that enough these days.
Yes. No, you don't. It was all about the title.
Yeah.
It was all about the title. It was all, we talked about it a million times.
Yeah.
It was all about wins, losses. You know what, you get, you know, no pun intended, you know, you want a piece of me, you know, you got to climb the ranks, and then you got to beat me for that title, because that title is the most precious thing in professional wrestling. It's like the Super Bowl. It's like the World Series. It's like the NBA championship. You know what I mean? Well, it's the big deal,
think
you know?
I think of the way that Nick Bockwinkel and the AWA champion for a long time, late 70s into the 80s, and Ric Flair, when he would hand the NWA title over to the referee, or Nick would, there was it was like handing a newborn baby to the nurse after you got to hold your baby for the first time. And I don't like when a champion treats the title like it's a duffel bag at the gym in the locker room. And I know
if you watch,
yeah, go ahead. Yep.
If you go, just so I don't forget, if you go back and watch my old ECW matches when I was world champion,
yep,
I would kiss the belt over and hand it to the referee.
Yes.
You know?
It's a little thing, but it makes a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll go. Ryan, you're still with us. Any follow-up?
I've got another couple of questions.
Sure.
Justin, basically, in this day and age now, in the wrestlers that are in the main roster or even in NXT, who, if you could have that one more fight with in the WWE, who would it be with on the main roster now, or NXT if you like them?
Ah, good question. Yeah, Peach, who would your match today, if you got yourself in tip-top shape for a comeback match and you just thought, I'm ready to keep up with some young guy or a veteran even, who's the wrestler on the roster now that you haven't worked with that you'd like to?
Oh, I know I could. If you gave me 6 months, I could work with Finn Balor.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I could still go. You know, half the reason I retired was the state of the independent scene. I'm 42 years old. I'm obviously at the back end of my wrestling career, but I'm physically very healthy. I'm not in shape. I'm not in wrestling shape, of course, but I was just very discouraged. And I just figured, you know, if I keep on wrestling, I'm just going to keep going on. And then, you know, 10 years later, I'll be 52 and still doing the same thing. So I wanted to kind of move on in life to have a backup in life so I could make a living for my family. It was more of that decision. It's not that I wanted to leave wrestling. It's just there were, you know, I'll in full disclosure, and I don't care if she gets mad at me, I reached out to Dixie Carter. She called me back. We'd exchanged, text and whatnot, and I asked her for any kind of opportunity, both behind the scenes and in any way, in helping train the boys or just being some kind of, you know, somebody, because they have a lot of jabrones there that have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the response I got from her was, talk to Big John. And I'm like, who the hell, I mean, I know who he is, but I'm like, who the hell is Big John? Probably has no idea who I am. I'm sure he didn't watch ECW. And you know who I am. You're the boss. Don't give me that bullshit about, you know, that kind of, it really upset me, you know. It really turned me off about their also lack of wanting to go after it for real.
Well, my hunch too in TNA is there's probably people who are in the position that you would probably have, who probably would, you know, just the way it works, are probably working against you and saying things to Dixie that would probably discourage Dixie from hiring you. Ryan, anything else for us?
Yeah, Justin, if you would have had a chance at like a US title or Intercontinental title sort of opportunity, what would you have brought to the table if you had given that like opportunity to do that?
Sure.
And that's my final question.
All right, thanks, Ryan.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yep.
If I had that opportunity, I would have just done what I always did, even when I was Gabe Sapolsky, who runs a lot of independent wrestling, big time independent wrestling promotions in the States. He used to work ringside, taping a lot of the RF video fan cam stuff, and he went on record at saying, for the stretch that I had, I don't know if it was 5 months or 6 months, whatever it was, whether it was 100 fans or 5,000 fans, at a house show, you put on the best match of the night. Your effort was impeccable. You worked as hard as you could, because I took that spot very seriously. And I believe that spot was always meant for the working wrestler, the guys that, you know, the IC title back then was the working man's title. And that's what I would have done. You know, I took it very seriously. You know, so that's what it would have been like.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, more phone calls. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. If you want to get in line on the phone banks, you can do so, 646-721-9828, 646-721-9828, or email us at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. I mentioned that EC3, Ethan Carter III, will be my guest next Thursday on the PW Torch Livecast. You can start sending in questions now for him at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Saturday morning will be episode number 2 of Saturday Morning Wrestling, a new livecast here at pwtorchlivecast.com, hosted by radio veteran Jim Valley, a longtime Torch subscriber and now contributor to the Torch. A real popular show already. Great response to the program. Taking a nostalgic bend to the program, looking back at your memories as through an adult lens, your memories growing up watching wrestling, but also with a connection to what's going on today. So somebody who's in the news today, maybe Jim focuses on some nostalgic moments or a big event, looking back at old Royal Rumbles or past WrestleManias and that kind of thing. It is a good new show added to the mix, and you have a chance to call the show when maybe you don't get a chance during the week on weekdays because you're in rush hour traffic or still at work or have other obligations. So Saturday Morning Wrestling, 11:30 is the start time Eastern. That's 8:30 Pacific time, and it runs about 60 minutes. So tune in live. You can find the link to the live feed at pwtorchlivecast.com. Justin Credible, my guest today on the PW Torch Livecast, and we're going to go back to phone calls with no further delay, and we appreciate our caller so far. Let's go next to area code 718. 718, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Mike from Brooklyn. How you guys doing? Hey, Justin.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling. What have you got for P. Jamie?
I mean, very, very interesting, you know, discussion today. First of all, I just want to ask, get y'all perspective. What would be y'all top, four matches in y'all perspective of WrestleMania as opposed to what being float around right now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good topic. Peach, when we look at the available talent, obviously with the injuries to John Cena, Cesaro, Seth Rollins, it's Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton. I mean, the list goes on and on. They have fewer people to work with, but I think they could have, with the time that they've had to prepare, have done a better job, including AJ Styles the last week and a half. He had great momentum, I think, at the Rumble with the crowd response he got, and then Miz just tore him apart on Raw on Monday. I would like to see AJ Styles and Kevin Owens as two wrestlers in particular positioned better going into WrestleMania and perhaps in one of those top three, four matches. But do you have some specific matches in mind given the talent realistically available to Vince?
Wow. that's really, really hard.
I'll throw a couple at you, and then you can augment it as you like.
Yeah,
too.
Please. But I'm stumped on that one.
I would like to see heel. This is changing a lot, but I'd like to see Roman Reigns go heel and take on Undertaker. I think that's a novel matchup. I think he gives Undertaker a fresh opponent, and I think it elevates Roman Reigns to have a WrestleMania moment with Undertaker, something he might never have another chance at. So have Roman Reigns go heel at Fastlane, and then you have Dean Ambrose win at Fastlane, so you have Dean Ambrose take on Triple H. Because by doing that, you're elevating Dean Ambrose and giving him a WrestleMania moment that he wouldn't otherwise have. And then for Brock Lesnar, I like Kevin Owens as an opponent for Brock as a heel. I think Paul Heyman and Kevin Owens going at it on the microphone is money. So those are some matchups I like. And then I would really try to find a meaningful match for AJ Styles against an established name who's healthy on the WWE roster and create something special there. So, Peach, how about that?
I agree with what you're saying. Unfortunately, I just don't see anybody... God, who do you put against AJ Styles?
I'd go Bray Wyatt. I think Bray Wyatt works.
Do you think would that necessarily pull out the best in AJ?
I think Bray's a good enough. Worker.
I mean, I know Bray could do it.
Yeah,
but
What I don't want them to do with AJ is what TNA does with the X Division, which is, hey, all you ardent fans, you indie fans, we're going to give you AJ Styles against Neville, and they're going to do a bunch of spots, and the announcers are going to marvel, and you're going to chant, this is awesome, and then we're going to move on to the moneymakers. I don't want that. I want AJ to be in there and treated as a guy who gets to face a deceptively large Bray Wyatt and bring out the best in Bray and have Bray be challenged to face somebody different. So that's my top four. Reigns, Undertaker, Ambrose, Triple H, Lesnar, Kevin Owens, and AJ against Bray.
If they do Bray and AJ, hell, I'd like to see the whole the Bullet Club come out, and even though a lot of fans wouldn't know them, and go up against the Wyatts in the future. Well,
if we incorporate NXT guys or now Shinsuke Nakamura into the mix, you got some other options too. Because I like Shinsuke Nakamura against Brock Lesnar or against Undertaker as a way to just shoot him to the top and say this guy is such a big star in Japan, he doesn't have to play games for 18 months or 4 months in order to earn his way. He steps in, and WWE says, this guy is one of the biggest stars to ever wrestle in Japan, and he's in his prime, and he came here, and he is making a statement. He wants a top match, and tell that story. We watched that growing up, Peach. The story that you could tell about a talent coming in from another country, you could create this story, whether it was me with Billy Robinson in the AWA as the champion of Great Britain, or if you had Otto Wanz coming in from Germany, or Jumbo Shibuta coming in from Japan. You'd create this story, and the fans today would sort of, quote, know better, but it doesn't matter. Just give us a story to believe in while we watch the show, and shoot Nakamura to the top.
The Phantom Pat Patterson IC title win.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. Really, you can do whatever you want.
Yep.
You know? It's I think the problem is that we are just in such a corporate, political, PC correct world that I think WWE, quite frankly, is happy with the status quo. I really do.
Well, I think they've talked themselves into thinking their way is the right way, and this is what gets spit out of that right way.
And until there is someone else and something else and ever coming out, if I'm wrong, that will compete with that.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't, unless there's a Ted Turner type. But even then, who are you guys? The thing that helped back then was there were these the magazines were huge, the wrestling magazines were a huge help in developing these stars, because even if you didn't know them, you saw them on your local newsstands and you were like, wow, who are these guys? And when you finally got to see them in your town, you kind of had a little bit of an idea of, wow, this guy is crazy. And they make up, you know, they'd read all these interesting stories. And I just think we have to, the model of professional wrestling has to change. I think the WWE Network has hurt in a lot of ways because of the content. There's just so much content, so much wrestling. And quite frankly, it's like, how much wrestling can you digest after 3 hours of a live Raw, 2 hours of a SmackDown, and all the other garbage you put out there? You know?
Well, and part of it too, Peach, is the mystique. You know, grew up, where I grew up, that when a wrestler came in, and I think, you know, Triple H saw this too growing up a fan, something Stephanie McMahon never experienced because she grew up in the business, and I think that's almost a handicap. But Hunter grew up a fan too. And that excitement over somebody you read about in the magazines coming into your territory was really exciting. You know, like Ric Flair for me, ESPN was out here at my home office for the Torch yesterday for a documentary they're doing on Ric Flair. And they interviewed me and they asked, you know, well, you know, when did you see Ric Flair wrestle? And, you know, and I was like, well, I grew up in the AWA territory. I read about Ric Flair and believed he was a huge star before I ever saw him on television or in person. But when he came here in the kind of mid-1980s, when Jim Crockett Promotions started touring, that's when I got to see him up close and in person. But I already believed he was a star based on the reputation. I think WWE, and I think Hunter would know how to do this. You can create this mystique around the pending arrival of Shinsuke Nakamura and, you know, show photographs, show him in Japan being treated like a celebrity and clippings of him in magazines and say the biggest international star to ever sign with WWE is coming and he has a big challenge and announcement. And I think you can instantly insert him in a match against Brock Lesnar or Undertaker and turn him into a star. And I think, and I'll throw to you after this, WrestleMania 32 isn't just about presenting a good lineup of established stars. And this goes back to what you said earlier, that it's become a showcase, that WrestleMania has become more of a spectacle. I think you can use WrestleMania, and I think CM Punk kind of made this argument too, to create a star or elevate somebody. Because if you're in a big match at WrestleMania, and you are qualified. You can't just put anyone in that spot. But if you're put in a major spot at WrestleMania, just that atmosphere turns you into a big star. That's where I kind of like Nakamura doing that. Now, we know Nakamura is going to be on the NXT TakeOver special the night before, but still, that weekend. But still, there's an opportunity to do something like that. Like you said, with Bullet Club, too.
No, I mean, they'll always get theirs. They'll always have their fair share of you know, great fans and passionate fans. But I think now they're also, you know, the audience has for a long time now, for years and years, they've shifted towards kids again. And, you know, I think there's a real need for more serious. I would almost like to see, you know, hours one, you know, maybe hour one and two be for younger viewers, like, you know, the TV PG, and then the last hour be for a more mature audience.
Maybe even switch announce crews to really accentuate that it's a different,
you know,
something different's happening.
I don't know. I mean, I just think there are adult fans that still want to like the business, but it's become corny again. You know, I talked to a lot of people, man, and it's like, yeah, man, but that stuff's corny, you know. I liked it back in the day, but, you know, and I mean, I get it because of me, because they're talking to me, but I love that ECW stuff. I love that hardcore stuff, even that, you know, the WCW stuff, that Mick Foley coming off the cage, and, you know, they used to, you know, Undertaker doing all that crazy stuff, and, you know, from Steve Austin with the beer trucks. And, you know, I just think they need something. It's just so sugar coated now. It's really hard to watch. I have a hard time watching. Quite honestly, I canceled my subscription to the network because I wasn't getting my use out of it.
Yeah,
I really wasn't.
I wonder how many people are disgruntled but stick with it because they want to watch NXT and see those takeover specials. Because I think for $20 every 2 months, those NXT specials are worth the price.
They're worth the price, yeah. As I'm getting older, I'm just starting to care less.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I really am. It's just, and that's sad for me because this was always my passion, but I'm just starting to care less. And it's hard to care. You know, but if you gave me something exciting, I'd be right back in. So, you know,
right. Yeah.
it's harder and harder for me to enjoy.
Yeah. PJ, anything you want to plug? I know you don't have as many shows as you used to, but I know you're still got your videos up on YouTube and. What else?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at PJ Polacco. I'm also on Instagram at PJ Polacco, the real Justin Credible on Facebook, and of course my Pro Wrestling 101 videos on YouTube. Just go to the little search engine up top, press put in Pro Wrestling 101, and you get over 50 instructional videos, professionally produced. Road stories and, really the ups and downs of pro wrestling that I learned from many of the superstars that we've spoken about today. So it's really good stuff.
I think one of your most viewed videos on your YouTube channel is Locker Room Etiquette. So people can check that out, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's young kids today sometimes, I'll walk by to say hi and they'll ignore me.
Yeah.
And that'll tell you something. And I don't mind because I'm not, I'm a lover, not a fighter, and I'm getting too old for that stuff.
Yeah.
But, back in the day, you'd get a stiff smack in the face.
Yep. You also
and,
have...
You do that these days, you get a lawsuit. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, you got to know the history of the business you're getting in.
Yeah. Well, what Awesome Kong did to Rebby Sky. And she got sent home from the TNA tour.
Yeah.
Well, believe me, one time a deceased friend of mine who used to be a British bulldog, went to the bathroom and one of Tammy Sitch's Lunchables to take home to the hotel. So, and we didn't go crying back then. So just the ribs were worse. Not saying they were justified, just way worse than, kids need to realize it's just part of the culture and, you need to earn your respect, man. It's a hard business.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes these kids, it's too easy for these kids. Too easy because I have so much respect for everyone. I still to this day walk into any indie locker room and I'll walk around the room as tired as I am from the drive. And I shake every single person's hand, including the referees.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wish that honor would still stay with the business. You know?
Well, let's take another email question here. We're down to our final 5 minutes or so. So if anybody wants to give us a call real quick, we might get to your call. So 646-721-9828. Got an email question here from Joseph from Boston. He says, thanks for all the great work that you and the Torch staff are doing always, and especially here in Mania season. Forgive me if you've already addressed this as I'm unable to listen live, but my question is actually a suggestion. To pose a question to PJ. What does PJ think about the recent spat of injuries among top WWE wrestlers and what sort of an effect CrossFit and the overall training regimen may have in potentially causing injuries? PJ, the CrossFit's being blamed for or it's being questioned as maybe setting wrestlers up to be more vulnerable to injury. Just in general, what do you think of the issues with, Seth blowing out his knee on the Europe tour, John Cena with the shoulder injury, Randy Orton with a chronic shoulder injury, Cesaro, it's just on and on.
It's amazing, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before. Agents, we always worked a strong style up there. House shows were pretty, we loosened up and we had a good time. But, TV is TV. You got to make it look good, and I understand that. But in these days, man, I think a lot of the, well, they call them producers now. They used to call them agents. They go out there and they really tell these kids to, you know, to lay it in there. And these kids just, a lot of them, they just don't know how to work. I mean, to really work.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say that I've never heard anybody in my 23-year career in the business. I mean, I might have given them a little stiff, you know, a stiff potato to the head, but I've never hurt someone, you know, seriously. And that was the craft Eric taught me, you know.
Yeah.
You know how to work. You know, it's okay. You know, there are safe spots you could hit hard. I think kids are reckless. I watch Raw and I cringe. I think there is just a lack of understanding, but of course, you know, WWE doesn't mind because it only looks more real. I've never seen so many, back in the day, man, I never saw people get staples in their heads. And I was there for a very long time. From 94 to 97, I never saw one person get a staple in their head. Maybe a stitch or two, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like that. And in 2001 to 2003, the same thing. You know, I think kids are less experienced, so they're just more, you know. I remember that I wrestled Dave Bautista. I was his new match on Raw. And Dave is a sweetheart. I know Dave very well. And we worked around the loop to get him ready, you know. And he's a very light worker, actually, Dave is. And you know, Arn Anderson, who was also, well, I consider him a friend. I don't know what he thinks of me, but Arn and I always were very friendly. And, you know, to an impressionable kid, Arn says, you know, when you hit him with that clothesline, rip his effing head off.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to a young kid who doesn't know any better and has less experience, what are you going to do? You're going to rip his effing head off, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is the problem, is I think there's a lot of misguided guys out there that don't know what they're doing. They think stiffer is better. Sean and I and Razor and I used to always talk about it. We used to hate it when it hurt like it looked like crap and it hurt like hell. Because if it hurts like hell, I can't sell it for you. I'm just going to crumble down into the fetal position. But if you hit me right, I'm going to sell it like $1 million. And I think that's a huge problem in the business. And that's why there are so many injuries and so many people out of action. I think it's like the most we've had injuries in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's because of things like that.
Yeah.
You know, guys don't know how to work.
The right way,
at least.
Do you think you can over-exercise, over-exert yourself, or over-train your muscles with certain weightlifting techniques that makes you more susceptible to injury in the ring?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because that's the conversation is like, you know, this overdoing it on CrossFit makes people more vulnerable to muscle tears when they're in the ring. And I don't know enough to know to have an educated opinion.
That might be the case. I mean, muscle tears. But, I mean, I'm talking about, like, you know, shots to the head.
Yeah.
And, you know, concussions and stuff. I mean, I don't know. Man, back then, we used to barely... I have to admit, this is... I mean, we're going back in the old days, but me and Kid used to literally... I mean, we'd barely do a stretch. They had chairs in the gorilla position. Everybody else is, like, doing push-ups, warming up. You know, everybody's like, aren't you warming up? Believe me, we'll leave it all out there. You know, and like our music hit, we went. You know, sometimes it's overdoing it. It's over. You got to remember, this stuff's work. You know your limitations. That's the thing, is I always knew my limitations.
Yeah.
If I wasn't comfortable with something, I'd say it. And these guys are just, everybody's so job scared that they're just trying to do whatever they're told to do. And, you know, they're the only game in town. And it's, you know, these kids have never been anywhere.
Yeah.
This is the only thing they know. So I don't blame them. You know, I was lucky enough to catch the back end of the territory days. I wrestled for Lawler's territory and, you know, a couple other small territories before I went to WWE and ECW and back to WWE and so forth. You know, and I think that's it. You know, guys just aren't getting the pride. And that's why, you know, I think a guy like myself and a guy like Waltman could help over there, you know, and just from a counsel standpoint, a consultant standpoint, I think they're really missing the boat with a lot of great legends out there that could really help. No, I really do.
Peach, this hour flew by. Thank you so much again for your insights and just good conversation about WrestleMania and the lineup. And we thank our callers, too. It's always good to have you on the program.
Always a pleasure, Wade. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you for listening.
We'll talk to you hopefully in another month or two as WrestleMania approaches or right afterwards.
Absolutely, Wade. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Peach. That's Justin Credible. You can look him up on YouTube and get see some of his Pro Wrestling 101 videos. If you're not a PW Torch VIP member, now's a great time to go VIP. We've got so much going on with WrestleMania season coming up, and you can find out information at pwtorch.com/goVIP. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP. $10 a month or $99 for a full year, or heck, $27.50 gets you in for 3 months. Got three pricing options, whatever suits your budget and your commitment. Check it out. Ad-free access to our website on desktop and laptop, and also on mobile at pwtorchvip.com. That ad-free website contains everything that you get on our app and on our free website, but minus any advertising. Also access to our exclusive VIP content, which includes articles, newsletters, including PDF newsletters, current ones, and over 1,400 back issues, and also the audio lineup, which is tremendous. The amount of content that we provide on so many different specific subjects and themes throughout the month is pretty impressive, if I don't say so myself, as the person running it. So much content. The Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, I think going on 6 years now. I've done it every single day without a day off. If there's news, I'm talking about it. And on slower news days, or just adding it to the mix, I do the Ask the Editor segment, where I do long-form answers to VIP member questions. And also, I review Raw and sometimes other newsworthy TV shows in depth. And there's so much more. The Fix with Todd Martin, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, the East Coast Cast, Moonlighting with Greg Parks, Sean Radican's Wrestling Community, all covering current events, and then the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, hosts here on Wednesdays and Saturdays. They do the Wayback Playback, where for 1 hour every weekend, they do a real-time analysis of an actual wrestling show that they watch that you can sync up and watch with them. So it's like having a couple buddies watching a show with you who know probably a lot more than you do about wrestling, at least it's tough to find people who know more than Pat and Jim about these shows that they're watching. They've been insider fans for decades and are very, very well-versed in the backstage stories. And they also have good chemistry and they're funny. So that's a cool feature. Plus, we run 20 years ago or 25 years ago, radio shows from the early 1990s. We're currently running the Pro Wrestling Spotlight shows from New York, hosted by John Arezzi, friend of the live cast, at for VIP members from 1991, and we'll be moving shortly into 1992 with those shows. Plus, soon this month, we'll be starting up again running the Total Chaos radio show hosted by Jim Valley during the Attitude Era. So some really good retro stuff, too. Plus, we regularly put up VIP audio shows from 10 years ago. So if you were a fan back then but weren't following the Torch's coverage of it, we give you a chance on our RSS feeds or through our ad-free website to follow it. All of our audio shows are available when you go VIP on iTunes or on RSS feeds, tailored by specific show, specific theme, or all in one feed, whatever you prefer. We got all kinds of RSS feeds that you can plug into popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android phones. And enter your username and password, and you're off to the races with exclusive access to what often approaches 100 shows or more per month that are VIP exclusive, including ad-free versions of this PW Torch livecast. So you don't have to listen to ads and plugs. We take almost all of them out. We try to take them all out. We miss one now and then, but the goal is to take them all out. And so you save time and hassle getting to listen to content minus ads and plugs. So many great benefits that go along with a VIP membership. In details are available at pwtorch.com/govip. We'd love to have you as a member. Now's a great time to dive in and give us a try. You can sign up on your mobile phone with a mobile-friendly sign-up page. It'll take you 2 minutes or less to be signed up and in the VIP ad-free website and signing up to our audio RSS feed. By the way, another way you can support the show and what we do at the livecast is by going to pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you're shopping Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and go to pwtorch.com, and enter /Amazon and go to our Amazon page and click on the link. You end up going right to Amazon.com anyway, but they know you stopped by PW Torch first, and therefore we get credit for everything you do on that shopping trip. And if you buy anything, we get a commission. So you take an extra second out to go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the link, and we get a commission, and you pay the same price on the same great selection. So it's win-win-win for everybody. You can also click on the Amazon links on our website at pwtorch.com. We've got a story right now, headlined at pwtorch.com, the bizarre story of CM Punk's road to UFC debut. We also have ratings for week two of Lucha Underground. And we also have the cost of WrestleMania week two, an exclusive column by Michael Moore, who does the collectibles column for PW Torch, looking at the attendance and also the price for tickets. What is the price right now on the black market, the third-party market for WrestleMania tickets? Michael Moore's got a really cool column there. When I say we've got some exclusive must-read columns at pwtorch.com worth going every day, bookmarking the site, going to it, leaving that tab open on your phone on Chrome or Safari, it's absolutely worth it. Our Torch Today updates that James Caldwell puts together are fantastic, with a dozen give-or-take quick bullet point items telling you what's going on in wrestling, some mainstream media mentions of wrestling, what ex-wrestlers are up to, kind of a where are they now file, and different crossover gigs. Like today in Torch Today, it talks about John Cena getting a gig with Marvel and Steve Austin doing NBC's Today Show. So lots of cool stuff at pwtorch.com. And if you are an MMA fan, we definitely encourage you to check out MMATorch.com or download our app. Daily news updates covering all the breaking news. If it's happening in UFC or the world of MMA, MMA Torch has you covered, along with roundtables, live coverage of big events, and so much more. PWTorch.com, MMATorch.com. Check them out. This is Wade Keller. Tomorrow, Bruce Mitchell takes over with Travis Bryant for the Friday PW Torch livecast starting at 7 Eastern. Join them. And then Saturday morning, it is Jim Valley hosting the PW Torch livecast Saturday morning wrestling episode starting at 11:30 Eastern or 8:30 Pacific. You can follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller and follow our brand at PW Torch. You can find links to that at pwtorch.com, our main website. Until next time, on behalf of my guest, Justin Credible, PJ Polacco, this is Wade Keller signing off.
Live.